This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Michael, you into Grandma Pie?
No.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
It's in Pompano Beach.
Mom!
Tom Thibo Diaw.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to ENN, a very special ENN on this Wednesday night. If you're just getting in the car right now, suffice it to say there's some news in the sports world. I'd like to start off, if I can, by saying good evening to our great host, Michael Kay.
No, possible. If you love him, grab him.
And then I'd also like to say good evening to the great Don LaGreca.
You don't think you can love more than one guy?
My mom loved Charlie Morton.
Oh, sure. We know. Well, a blockbuster trade. That term gets thrown around, and sometimes you see it and you go, well, is that really blockbuster?
Oh, this one is.
In this case, it's like blockbuster meets Netflix meets going to the theater. It's all there for you. It's gigantic. It's a two-parter. It's like a three times two-parter. The first thing we heard was that it was a three-team deal. The Houston Rockets sending the former NBA MVP and three-time reigning scoring champion, James Jim Harden. We don't happen to have the Harden watch over there, do we, by any chance? Because, my God, this is certainly a Harden watch. That's right. Jim Harden to the Brooklyn Nets. Yes. James Jim Harden is on your Brooklyn Nets. Woj, of course, the first to report this story. Now, in this deal, Houston would acquire Victor Oladipo, Dante Exum. Andrew, you want to help me with this player's name or just make me
Rodions
sound a fool? Kurix. Sorry?
Rodions Kurix.
Wow, beautifully done. Four first-round picks and four first-round pick swaps in the deal. Now, the Pacers and Cavs also in on the deal. Jared Allen and Torian Prince would go from Brooklyn to Cleveland. In return for Oladipo, the Pacers get Caris LeVert. That's right, the deal continued. Oladipo goes to Houston. The Pacers get LeVert. All of the picks and pick swaps are unprotected. Now, we still are operating in a space where we do not know what will happen with Kyrie Irving. The news that started the show, which has since been buried, is that Kyrie Irving popped up on a Zoom last night around 7 p.m., 40 minutes right before the Nets tip. It was a Zoom of 200 volunteers and staff of a candidate running for district attorney. District attorney of Manhattan, right, Michael?
Yes.
Which is a very big race coming up in a couple months. So that's the first time we've definitively seen Kyrie. I guess we don't know technically when that video of him at a party with family, allegedly. We don't know when that video is
from.
Well,
his sister turned 30 on Tuesday.
I heard it's the same day as his dad's birthday.
No, his dad, Dredrick, turned 55 on Monday. So the guess is that the video was Sunday night or Monday.
Okay. But we know for a fact that at 7 p.m. yesterday, he was on a Zoom for this DA candidate.
Would you like her name?
Yeah, what is it again?
It is Tahani Abushi.
I've interviewed so many district attorney candidates at this point. It's a big, wide-ranging race. I actually have
you guys
Alvin,
do that on Ebro?
We do. Tomorrow we have
that's a
Alvin
nice service you provide.
We have Alvin Bragg, who's another candidate we have on tomorrow. I mean, it's a huge election. I mean, you could argue, without getting too political, that whoever wins this race could sort of be like the face of Donald Trump's next nemesis. Right? Michael, isn't that possible?
I don't know. I mean, are they the head of the Southern District? That's what I keep hearing.
Yeah, I believe so. So it's a big election for sure. But
so
anyways,
the Paul Giamatti character in Billions, is that what this is for?
Yeah.
No, I think he was bigger than just a Manhattan district. Well, I don't know.
No, he was the district attorney for the Southern District of New York, which I think is Manhattan.
All right, don't be snotty. I don't know.
That's what I think. What do I know? Either way, Kyrie's still not playing basketball. Now, the Nets are playing the Knicks tonight. Kevin Durant was scheduled to play the second half of a back-to-back for the first time this season. Of course, KD just came back from being out because of that COVID protocol. He dropped 34 last night and led the Nets to a comeback victory. And I assume we'll see KD tonight. But
if they don't, I mean, the Knicks might be a nice hardwood pick.
Oh, yeah, I mean,
there's no Caris LeVert, there's no Jared Allen, there's no Harden, he's not there, there's no Kyrie Irving.
It's not what you want.
No, it's, in a word,
troubling, I feel.
Yeah.
But obviously, a lot of people talking about this trade, some tweets from NBA players. Donovan Mitchell simply tweeted, whoa. Andre Drummond retweeted the Cavs starting a joke about the Cavs starting five. It said the Cavs starting five in 2023, about to be JaVale McGee, Brooke Lopez, Rudy Gobert, Andre Drummond, Jarrett Allen. And Andre Drummond just wrote, LMAO, I'm weak. I don't fully understand. Hmm. Larry Nance Jr. tweeted, sheesh.
How do they spell sheesh?
He went
S-H-E-E-S-H,
followed by eyes emoji.
Oh, wow.
CJ McCollum wrote, right before my nap, huh? Most entertaining sport in the business. Damian Lillard tweeted, there's a lot of firepower in Brooklyn. And then someone asked him thoughts on Indy getting Caris. And Lillard wrote, I think he's going to take off now. So, a lot to digest here in the NBA.
Do you think we got a little bit of a window, a little sneak peek on why Jeff Van Gundy hasn't been hired?
Yeah.
That interview we did.
Yeah.
Just with his complete, like, I don't want to say not understanding. I think he understands fully the cesspool that is social media. But to be that, like, disconnected on why the players find it important, I wonder if that would scare off ownership. Like, this, you know, that opinion probably wouldn't fly in a room when you've got 10 guys tweeting and understanding the importance of social media to them.
Well, I don't think that Harden is a huge fan of Jeff's, because Jeff, from what I've heard, he had the Rockets job. And before he would take it, he wanted to talk to Westbrook and Harden. And people have told me that he talked to Westbrook for a long time and really liked him. Harden refused to meet with him, never returned calls. And Houston was still willing to hire Jeff instead of Silas. And Jeff said, listen, no, I don't want the gig. I mean, if I can't get the guy to even call me, I don't want the gig.
Now, I don't think NBA players are any different than any other athletes. It's just the way the sport is built is that they can take advantage of it more than anybody else.
I also think it's
individualism within a team sport.
I think that what makes Jeff great on the air is that he's honest.
Right.
And the NBA players listen. And he's critical of some players. They don't like it.
Well, he's critical, and he probably would be somebody that just wouldn't, you know, maybe you would say to guys, what are you doing to social media for? Give me a break. It's so negative. And they might be like, all right, Dad. And that relationship's really important, because I don't think any player really likes to be told what to do, but I think in other sports they understand that it's important to have that authoritative figure, because there's a lot of things a coach understands that the players don't understand. Like in the NFL, you can hate a coach all you want, but you understand that there's so much heavy lifting that you couldn't even comprehend to do that position, you kind of let him be. But in the NBA, like I agree with you, you're never going to get rid of the coach, but you're going to have players be like, do we really need this guy? Give me a break. I can put together plays. I can motivate myself.
Because they're
so important, Peter, that they have that control to get them hired, get them fired. You don't have that in other sports.
Let's hear from Tim McMahon, who was on ESPN Radio, talking about how this trade came to be.
Harden ended up getting his wish. He wanted to go to Brooklyn, and ultimately it came down to the really historic draft compensation that the Nets were willing to put on the table, and that's something that didn't develop until the last few days. I'm not sure if that was totally on the table even until today. And, you know, you would have to think the uncertainty with the Kyrie Irving situation influenced the Nets.
Boy, if the Nets didn't want to make this trade and Kyrie's flakiness caused it, it's disgraceful what he's done. It's disgraceful. Now, again, we don't know why he's not in, but nobody knows. And so until he tells us, we can only assume that he's forced the Nets to give up the 4 first-round draft picks.
But let's just imagine for a second, you're right, and that he held out, say, I'm not going to play until you make this deal. Then he owned you, even more than he did before.
But do you mean that, Michael, or you just mean they don't know what to do because they don't think they're going to have him back?
I don't know. I don't know if what Don's saying is true, if you know he was power brokering behind the scenes. But his actions over this last week, if they force this, whether he's pulling backroom politics or they're just not sure if they could depend on him, disgraceful. Disgraceful. I mean, this team, the brilliance of the way this team was built, they develop players like Caris LeVert. They develop players like Dinwiddie. They develop players like Jared Allen. And they were still able to clear enough cap space and get two of the biggest stars in the game and still had their future really solid because they had all their draft capital. And they had to give it all away because one of the two guys that they brought in is totally flighty and they don't know if they could depend on him.
Right.
It's awful. What a terrible thing he did to them.
It's awful, but it's trying to make the best out of a bad situation because they want to try to salvage it for Durant. So you can understand why they would make that deal. My fear is that this was like a self-imposed holdout to try to get your way.
I don't know if he wants Harden here.
I don't know.
Let's hear the moment the news was broken by Woj on NFL Live. Yes, that's right.
This was something that Kevin Durant very much wanted. He and Harden started talking about this months ago. And listen, with the uncertainty surrounding Kyrie Irving right now, and I think there's still hope, expectation, he returns and plays for this team. Remember, free agency comes back upon you pretty quick in this league. You know, Kevin Durant's in the second year of a 4-year deal. And getting Harden, that's another reason for Durant to want to stay. But now, if you get Irving back and he's back to playing at a high level, you have a 1-2-3. Perhaps unlike we've seen in this league in the modern era, but certainly it comes at a steep price.
Now, if you're wondering how Vegas is seeing this whole thing, the Nets' title odds were plus 550 before the deal.
And now?
Any guesses on where they are now?
Plus 250.
300. Done.
That's why Don's the best in the biz. Plus 300 at Caesars, second to the Lakers. Let's hear from Richard Jefferson, former Net, now our colleague at ESPN and the S Network. Here's RJ on it being on Harden to make this thing work.
Say what you want about James Harden and, you know, maybe whether he's in shape right now. He's been in a situation where he has not wanted to be in that organization for, you know, the past few months. And, you know, I think that a change of scenery is going to be great for him. But he still has to get himself into shape. He's got to get himself into prime physical condition, you know, because that's the only way that you'll be able to see what this team is really and truly capable of doing. But if anything, it's going to be some fun NBA, you know, excitement.
I'll tell you what, only in sports where your body is the product and you're getting paid close to $40 million a year, that someone would have the gall to not be in shape, to force a trade.
As I say, that's how bad he wanted to get out of Houston.
Oh, but don't you have any pride? It's awful. It's sickening. He's not in shape.
There's no accountability.
No, there's not.
Because he got to go to the Nets, All right. And you're going to start to see. Let's have this conversation a month from now, 2 months from now. I'm sure he'll have a better body, better conditioned, and you are going to see a completely different player, happy. The Nets are going to compete for a championship. And if they win, do you think the narrative is going to be, what a shame, this guy got to do what he wanted to do and he wins a championship at the end? Or is it going to be praise, great player, great players win championships? That's the thing. We need to hold these players accountable and remember how it went down. I'm not asking the Net fan to do that because the Net fan's been starving for a championship. But overall, Michael, we have the ability in the media, and according to Jeff, we have a lot of say. Then hold him accountable. Don't forget when all of a sudden he drops 20 pounds and is killing it with the Nets. Let's not forget this day.
You know who I heard is really upset with this deal?
John Wall.
No. Little baby.
Oh.
Got a lot of Houston Rockets paraphernalia.
Yeah, but the bag of money he got for his birthday, he can now buy Brooklyn Net.
Yeah, but
that's right.
He was planning to spend that on other stuff.
Now,
how's Little Handsome yesterday that you were with?
Little Handsome?
No.
Weren't you on with somebody who was good looking or?
Pretty.
Pretty. Little Pretty.
His name's not Lil Pretty. It was Pretty Lou. And he's a grown man. He's like 45 years old. He's not Lou.
I was Pretty Lou.
Well, we had a great time. I got to tell you, Pretty Lou, he does like a little a DJ game show on his Instagram Live where he has DJs compete against each other.
Interesting.
I got to tell you, it's a very good IG Live. He like maintained. It's a long show. I was on with him for like 2 hours. But he maintains like 500 live viewers the whole time. People are very into it. So shouts to Pretty Lou. He's a great guy. He's one of the heavy hitters. I know you guys appreciate the heavy hitters.
I don't know what that is. I'm sorry.
The heavy hitters? Those are people that are big. Heavy hitters.
Big DJs. It's a DJ crew. You've never heard the drop, heavy hitters, sucker. You never heard that before?
No, I really haven't.
Wow. Andrew, if you could find the heavy hitters, sucker, I think it's important that we play it. You know who's a heavy hitter?
Who?
Laura Stiles.
That's
Why,
true.
What'd she do?
She's just a member of the heavy hitters.
Hey, did you run my opening theme song past?
No,
Ebro?
I told Ebro about it today. He was very interested in hearing it. I have to get him the audio.
Don't do that, please, for my guy.
He wants to hear it. He was very curious. So we'll see. Maybe it'll stick.
E-B-R-O in the morning.
Yeah, it's,
there it is.
It's solid.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, speaking of the heavy hitters, let's hear from Tony Kornheiser. Don't hear from Kornheiser every day. He was on PTI talking about how the Nets have sort of become villains in the NBA.
I love the trade because it makes it easier for me to hate the Nets even more now as they load up in this way. I look at James Harden and what he has done this year in Houston. When he stopped playing, he stopped. He stopped running, he stopped working, he even stopped shooting, which is amazing, and he just poisoned the well there so that they had to get him out. You know, when he said, was it last night, he said, this just isn't working, and then they kept him away from practice today, so you knew that they were going to make a move. I wonder if he can play with Kyrie Irving, because I wonder if anybody can play with Kyrie Irving, and I wonder when Kyrie Irving will play again. I will say this about Harden. He's a great, great, great talent. He sabotaged the team he was just on. You don't know if that can happen again. The volatility reference is absolutely correct. He has played with Russell Westbrook. He has played with Chris Paul. He has played with Kevin Durant. These are great talents as well. And to my knowledge, correct me if I'm wrong, he's never won a ring.
Interesting stuff from Kornheiser. Now, someone you feel maybe happy for today is John Wall, who was trying to get a new life in Houston. Remember, John Wall's been on the shelf for almost 2 years. And before that, he's basically been on the shelf the entire start of his career because he's been in Washington.
He gets out to Houston with a superstar who has no interest in playing. Harden had ranted about the Rockets being unfixable, and Wall spoke after and said, I think it's been a little rocky. Can't lie about that. I don't think it's the best it could be, to be honest. That's all I could really say. Well, hopefully now he gets to be the centerpiece of a rebuild, and good for him. He gets Oladipo for at least this year so they can maybe put together a semblance of something competitive as they mount all these draft picks and try to build towards a post-Harden future.
And DeMarcus Cousins was pretty ticked off as well. And he's a guy who's been on the shelf with injuries. And, you know, that could have been a decent team. I mean, Wall and Harden are scorers, and DeMarcus Cousins has skills as well. P.J. Tucker, who I wish that the Nets were able to get in this deal, he's a tough player. So,
by the way, it's interesting.
Fall off a cliff.
It's interesting. It is interesting, though, to think about, you know, because Harden's been such a poison at this point for that team. It is interesting to sort of think about, you know, could Houston change? Obviously, this year they're not going to be, you know, special. At this moment, they're 3-6. But could they start to be a better team, addition by subtraction, and bringing in a very good player in Oladipo?
Now, got a very interesting tweet. I want to run it past you and Don.
Okay.
So, and I was going to read it too.
Phil Linder, is this the one?
Yep.
Said, slow down, Don and Michael. You sound like old curmudgeons again. The players have no leverage and ownership's doing whatever they want. Harden's only control in the situation is over his body, and he uses it as he should. Well, let me answer this first. When you sign a contract, you have to live up to the contract. That's all your word right. is worth. So, I mean, the only thing that I have control over is my voice. So I signed a contract with ESPN. And if FAN came to me in the middle of the contract and said, we want you to come here, or I demanded to go to FAN, I can't do it. And all I have control of is my voice. And whatever owners do, I mean, unless you own a business, you're always going to be beholden to them. That doesn't mean that players should break contracts and not live up and fulfill their contracts.
Well, the way I responded to him was that, you know, you honor your contract and your body. I said, I'm old and wise. I mean, so if you're going to call me old curmudgeon, I'll call you a child, because that's what the children today feel like, is that you can just do whatever you want. Like petulant childs, like Marco or Jalen, like when I take something from them, they cry in hopes that they get it back, instead of realizing that you have a contract, you honor the contract, and then if you don't like it there, when you become a free agent like LeBron did, like Kevin Durant did, Then you go and sign elsewhere. I mean, and when did the NBA become the NFL, Michael? Where the owners have all the leverage and the players have no guaranteed contracts and their career can end in one bad tackle. Where exactly do the owners have it on the players? Yeah. Players rule the day. They're the ones that dictate who their coach is. They're the ones that dictate where they want to go and play. They get to dictate who comes in trades to their team.
You know what people also don't grasp? People that own companies have worked their way to be the boss. And if you work for the boss, you have to listen to the boss. That doesn't mean that you supersede the boss. Because as rich as these players are, they couldn't afford to buy a team. Most of them, LeBron could probably afford to buy one now. But these people have the money. And when you work for somebody, you owe them an honest day's work. You know, they only have control over their body. Sorry.
So that's the alternative.
What I'm going to do,
I'm not happy here, so I'm going to eat a bunch of hot dogs and hamburgers, gain 20 pounds, look like a fat slob, and so they're forced to trade me. And that's okay?
Isn't there any honor?
Exactly how has he been abused by the Houston Rockets to the point where he would act that way? That's being a child.
$40 million a year. Abuse me like that.
And his contract's guaranteed. So it's not like the NFL.
Even if he's a fat slob.
Couple of corrections real quick, by the way. You know, Twitter has a lot of very, very knowledgeable people. Number one, the Manhattan DA is local. Chuck Rhodes on Billions is the U.S. attorney for the Southern District.
I figured that, yep.
So national. And I'm told that the player in the deal, his last name is pronounced Kurutz.
What did I say, Quirks?
Yeah, Kurutz.
So, I got sold down the river the same way when I supported him on his mispronouncing or just giving the wrong name for the Hamilton.
What did I say? Nice job.
No, I just was like, oh, you know, I was, all right. I'm like, good. Michael knows.
I mean, the Hamilton one was a much bigger disgrace.
Well, this,
first of all, none of Lin-Manuel's Miranda's names are difficult. And this one, he was at least the right name, just the wrong pronunciation.
But this was like the infancy of Hamilton, so it wasn't as egregious as if he had done it now.
Now it would be problematic.
It wasn't the infancy. I was terrible for getting it wrong. I'd already seen the show, and I got it wrong.
But you're very wealthy. You saw it in like one of the original runs. I mean, you were there.
Juan Manuel Garcia.
Not what you want.
No, but there's I complimented him.
If you want more analysis of this trade, DCR is going to be all over it from 5 to 8 in the morning. Over it.
I got to hear it for the first time today.
Why were you up that early? Oh, yeah, you had it. Okay, I know why.
I had to take my mom to the doctor today. All's well, by the way. And her appointment was in Woodland Park, New Jersey, at 7 in the morning.
Oh, wow.
So the alarm went off at 5:10. So I got a good dose.
Did you like it?
Yeah. I mean, listen, it's the show I loved it, you know, at 11 o'clock. It just that, you know, it's good. They were Omar called with an eerily similar call that he had with us the day
before.
But
was he as animated that time of the day?
It was the exact, if I didn't know any better, I would think he recorded himself and then just played back what he said to us the day before.
I can't tell if that's good or damning.
But, you know, and did you see these DCR hats?
They have hats?
They're gorgeous. These baseball caps. They're tremendous.
There's a DCR cap?
They've got merch.
They've never given us merch.
That's not true. We had the shirts for the holiday party last year.
But not hats. Hats are better than shirts.
I'm telling you, take a look at it. It's gorgeous.
It's a gorgeous hat.
Now, Peter, I got to tell you this. I dropped the ball yesterday.
Huh.
So we had on Chris Carlin.
I remember.
All right. And Chris revealed that he won a regatta race as a 13-year-old.
Yeah, I remember that. It was interesting.
That he was actually a sailor of some sort.
I used to be quite the sailor.
And
this is the plot to One Crazy Summer, by the way.
I did not look down at my phone like I normally do, but I had a Rick DiPietro quip.
I wonder what this is about.
He writes, and I quote, "That sailboat should have won the award for staying afloat."
I don't mean that's terrible, but it's funny.
I'm upset. I'm sickened by it.
But amused.
And slightly amused. That'll do it for ENN,
nice.
This very special ENN
really
on a Wednesday
good.
Evening in New York.
Wow. Really good. All right, when we come back, we'll take phone calls. A busy, busy, busy day. 1-800-919-3776. Don will lead us into the opening of the NHL season. It's 50. How many games, Don? 52?
56.
56 games. Yeah. All right, so it starts tonight. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.